The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
Welcome to the 5 o'clock hour of Bob Burney Live. Telephone number 877 Bob Live, 877-262-5483. I love Wednesday evenings. Joy and I head over to church. Joy and I, we were both raised. You're in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We were raised that way. And I know a lot of churches no longer have Wednesday night service, and I'm not arguing with that or even criticizing it. But we, you know, for 25 years, Joy and I had the privilege of being in leadership in a wonderful church over in Westerville. Every Wednesday night, we were always there with the Awana kids and the adult Bible study, and I loved it. I loved it. That midweek, we always called it midweek service, midweek prayer meeting, that boost. I just love to be around God's people. Tonight, I'm not teaching. I have taught on Wednesday nights at our church, but I'm not teaching tonight. But I can't wait just to be around other believers, hear someone else teach, share the word, fellowship with others. It's that midweek boost. Joy's in a ladies' Bible study that she dearly loves, being with the other ladies. And I hope you have an opportunity during the midweek to be with other believers. And many of you are involved in small groups, and maybe your small group meets on another night or whatever. But I hope you have an opportunity other than just Sunday to be fed, to fellowship, to be able to share with others, to serve. We look forward to Wednesdays. It's hectic. Usually, Joy and I meet. She drives one car from home. I drive my car from here at the station. We meet somewhere in Westerville, jump in one car and head up. And then after church, we got to go back and get the two cars. And it's, you know, I don't go home. And I realize that many of you, If you're gonna go to Wednesday night service, you don't go home either. That's why a lot of churches provide a meal, which is great. And Joy and I would love to go to the meal at our church, but I don't get off till 6, so we can't. But anyway, I'm looking forward to getting together with other believers tonight, and I hope you have that opportunity as well. I'm on the mailing list for the Ohio State newspaper, The Lantern, and I get news items all the time from the Ohio State University Lantern. Sometimes I read it, sometimes I don't. Something catches my attention. This story caught my attention. Headline, this is from today's Ohio State Lantern. LGBTQ professors weigh in on discrimination-related Supreme Court case. If you were listening yesterday, I had the privilege of having Dave Yost, our Ohio Attorney General, on the program. And Dave Yost, on behalf of the citizens of the state of Ohio, has joined an amicus brief with attorneys general from around the United States encouraging the Supreme Court not to redefine sex and gender. And his point was, that's not the job of the judiciary. Even the Supreme Court has no constitutional right to define sex. Because what's before the Supreme Court is a reinterpretation of the 1964 Civil Rights Act, which bars discrimination on religion, natural origin, and sex. But it does not include gender identification or sexual identification. And the radicals want the Supreme Court to reinterpret the 1964 Civil Rights Act to extend the protections to gender identity, sexual identity, transgenders, and whatever sexual whim someone may have. Well, the LGBTQ professors at Ohio State are all up in arms, and I find this article fascinating. But what I find even more fascinating are the comments, and I'll get to that in just a moment. Here's part of the article. Again, this is from the Ohio State Lantern. For some Ohio State faculty, this argument hits close to home as they navigate living and working as members of the LGBTQ community, all the while weighing the potential impact of the Supreme Court's ruling. As members of both the LGBTQ and Ohio State community, Shannon Winburst, Joy Ellison, and Natala Wolf said they feel safe at Ohio State, but are concerned about the decision. Let's see. Let me skip a couple of paragraphs. Quote, "There is a question that some lower courts have had to consider whether the prohibition on sex discrimination includes discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity. If the court finds that sex discrimination does not include gender identity or sexual orientation, then that would be a bad result for LGBTQ plus, you gotta add the plus there, people." Well, here's the basic problem. Sexual orientation and gender identity is completely, absolutely fluid. It can change literally, not just month to month or day to day. It can change moment by moment. Gender identity. Someone can identify as a man today, as a woman tomorrow. Someone could identify as a man this morning and a woman this afternoon. No, I'm serious and I'm not exaggerating. On the workplace, someone could identify as a man in the morning at his job, and then he has a second job in the evening, and in the evening he decides to identify as a woman in the evening. How in the world do you assure the rights for something that changes like the wind? And that's exactly what this community wants to happen. Okay, I'm going to have to take a break because I'm just in the middle of this. This article clearly illustrates how ludicrous this whole argument is about gender identity, sexual orientation, and so forth. It is ludicrous. It is planting your feet in thin air. It literally is planting your feet in thin air. I'll illustrate that for you when we return.
Today's news, God's Word, and your thoughts. This is Bob Burney Live.
You know, to the liberal left, words mean whatever you want them to mean. You just make up a definition for words. Words don't have any solid concrete meaning. They mean whatever you want them to mean. You just make up definitions for words. We were talking earlier about nihilism. There's no such thing as value. No such thing as right and wrong. Right is what you determine it to be. Wrong is what you determine it to be. God does not declare what is right and wrong. And so you just make up definitions. I'm talking about an article from today's Ohio State Lantern. Headline, LGBTQ professors weigh in on discrimination-related Supreme Court case. One of those principles, I've talked about several of them today, but one of the principles that you and I talk about constantly is that words actually mean something. They actually mean something. And if you lose the definition of words, then you have no truth. Another principle we talk about often is that if you abide by God's principles, there is clarity. If you reject God's principles, you have chaos and confusion. Talk about an illustration of confusion in this article. I read this quote to you. There is a question that some lower courts have had to consider whether the prohibition on sex discrimination includes discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity. And as I tried to point out, according to the liberals, according to the left, that is completely fluid. Then it quotes a person, last name of Winubst, W-I-N-N-U-B-S-T. Winubst, who is lesbian and the chair of the Women's Gender and Sexuality Studies Department. Honestly, why in the world do we have a Women's Gender and Sexuality Studies Department? Why? Okay, that's another topic. And then it quotes someone by the last name of Ellison. And I quote, listen to this. Ellison, a queer and non-binary transgender. I'm quoting from the Lantern. Ellison, a queer and non-binary transgender PhD candidate who teaches in the Women's Gender and Sexuality Studies Department, said it's unclear if the Supreme Court ruling will help non-binary people. Listen to this. Quote. This is from a PhD candidate who teaches in the Women's Gender and Sexuality Studies Department at The Ohio State University. Quote, courts define transgender identity using medical standards. Yeah, that would be a good way for courts to, yeah. Well, this person thinks that's negative. Courts define transgender identity using medical standards. So for non-binary people, that really means that we are not necessarily protected under laws that protect trans people. In other words, courts looking at people's sexuality according to science and medicine, that's bad. I thought that science and medicine was good. Well, not if settled science disagrees with your perceived notions about sexuality, gender, and so on and so forth. I find that incredibly interesting. All right, what's most fascinating, the most to me about this entire article are the comments at the end. I already read to you that this person, Ellison, a queer and non-binary transgender. What do you mean non-binary? Transgender means you are transitioning from one gender to another. What do you mean non-binary transgender? If you're transgender, you're not non... Well, anyway. Somebody named Bob wrote this comment at the end. Queer and non-binary transgender? I'm confused. Okay, I am too. But someone named Stella tries to answer Bob's question. And I want you to listen to this. Just listen. Non-binary gender means that this person's gender does not fit into the traditionally binary, mutually exclusive masculine versus feminine gender identities. This could mean they don't identify as either, identify with no gender at all, identify as some degree of both, identify as a third outside gender, or experience gender fluidity. Okay. Confused yet? It goes on. For instance, a trans woman who has been declared as male at birth but lives as a woman would be a transgender person who fits into the binary dichotomy, whereas, as an example, a person who has been declared male at birth but does not identify with or feel they present as any gender would be a non-binary transgender person. What? What does that mean? And then this Stella, who writes this unbelievably confusing explanation, closes by saying, I hope this helps. I read that and thought, oh my goodness, talk about double talk. But again, there is no clarity. What do you mean by non-binary, transgender, queer, lesbian? What do you? Well, for this person, it could mean this, but for this person, it could mean this. But we don't know, because for this person, it could mean something completely different, whether you were declared at birth or maybe you weren't declared at birth, but maybe you were born this way, but you didn't feel that way. And later on, you didn't feel like the gender that you were born with. But if you did feel like the gender that you were born with, maybe you feel different on another day. Maybe on Wednesdays, you identify with your gender at birth, but on Thursdays, you identify with your gender that you feel like because you were at a party on Saturday night and someone said, it is absolute confusion. It makes no sense. No values, no real definition. Words mean whatever you want them to mean. And that's why this Supreme Court case is so important. The radicals want the Supreme Court to say the 1964 Civil Rights Act extends to gender identity and sexual identity that is completely dependent upon each individual's definition. And that can be anything. So there is no truth. So then the 1964 Civil Rights Act would give protection to anybody who thinks they deserve protection. No truth, no definitions, as I've said many times. Planting your feet firmly in thin air. All right. We're going to take a break and then we'll be back.